Well, first to Mali and the continuing concern about the conflict there. One particular issue which has come up is the problem of revenge killings. Human rights groups have raised an alarm, highlighting allegations being made against government soldiers. They've been accused of executing people suspected of collaborating with the rebels from the north. The allegations have been denied by the Malian army.
Well, amid the fighting and the violence, it's easy to forget how all this started. The original spark last year was a rebellion by Tuareg separatist movement. It drove out the Malian army and overran the north of the country. But the Tuaregs have since lost out to other rebels with an Islamist agenda. So where does that leave the Tuaregs and their hopes for autonomy? I asked regional specialist Peter Rutland.
Well, presumably on the ground, there's a kind of confusing mixture of Tuareg objectives and Islamist groups that moved in, having kind of hijacked the local movement. In the long term, I assume the outcome of all this will be the crushing of any hopes the Tuaregs had for independence in northern Mali, because they've chosen to ally themselves with the Islamists, and they've brought on themselves this international intervention, which can only further reduce their chances of success.
Because initially the Tuaregs seem to have had the upper hand. Indeed, it was their rebellion in the north which pretty much forced a coup further south in Bamako, and it seemed that the Tuareg were about to get what they wanted, was to be in a position of strength to move towards self-determination. Have they badly miscalculated?
Well, I think the other important factor to bear in mind is that prior to October 2011, they were getting support from Libya. With the fall of the Gaddafi regime, they lost that crucial external base of support. So as they moved their fighters with military assets into Mali, that was a short-term advantage. But in the medium to long term, without a kind of foreign sponsor, a backer, the chances of success will be slim.
We've got a tendency to talk about these groups in terms of Islamist rebels, but presumably there are a fair few Tuaregs among them.
Yes, definitely. And we've seen the emergence of the new Islamist movement, Ansar Din, which is a mixture of Tuareg goals and Islamist goals. So on the ground, I'm sure it's impossible to separate the one from the other. But given that the international community has seen this through the prism of counterterrorism and rising Islamism, that's the way they will be treated.
One does get the impression that over the past few decades, the cause of the Tuaregs has been pretty much ignored by the international community. Is that fair, do you think?
Certainly by the United States, the international community more broadly, but the French obviously have been following the situation closely, and they did manage to persuade the government in Niger to adopt a more compromising approach towards their Tuaregs, and that seems to have succeeded much better than in Mali, where efforts at compromise and integration have repeatedly failed.
So if we look at the current situation now and the potential outcome, where do you think that would leave the Tuaregs?
It looks rather grim prospects for them. I mean, they've been fighting for more than 40 years without much success, and I would say the prospects in the immediate future don't look very rosy either.
And facing yet further isolation, reprisals even perhaps, because already feelings against the Tuaregs have been running pretty high in the south anyway.
Yes, and it's also important to bear in mind they're not actually a kind of demographic majority in the areas that they control in the north either. So there's a local population which has some antagonism towards them, apart from the population in the south.
It's Peter Rutland, who's written extensively about the Tuaregs in Mali.